Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord. You're all we need, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for getting all this stuff out of us. Breaking all the darkness out, Lord. Getting all the pride, the idols that we have grown along with us all these many years. Because the only thing we want is you, Lord. The only thing we need is you. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Oh, we just praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And when we pray, Lord, we just trust you. We just trust implicitly in you and your promises. Because we know that you're going to fulfill and back up everything that we pray. We accept nothing less than what we pray for in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for backing up your word for us in Jesus' name, that the people would marvel at what you're doing through the people here, Lord. And I thank you for it. Let your gifts be in operation tonight. Let your Holy Spirit come and lead. We just relinquish everything to him, Lord. We lay it on the altar and we ask, Father, that you lead us tonight. Guide us into everything that you want us to do. In the name of Jesus. Father, you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, I command any distracting spirits out of here. Right now, in Jesus' name, I cleanse this room of any distracting spirits and also any communication interruptions in anyone's computer or phone in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that we're going to have an awesome, awesome time tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. We believe you. Hey, Tracy. David and Lena, Sunil, Joe, Gano, Barbara, Mariana, Larry, and everybody else. Samuel and Tiana. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request tonight? I'll tell you what, let's do. Debbie, let me go ahead and get this taken care of, if you don't mind. Okay. Tracy has a friend in the hospital that the pharmakia has sentenced her to death. But she's a child of God. So we come against that and break the power of the curses spoken against Pavel right now in Jesus' name. We command that spirit of death off of her. We command that spirit of infirmity off of her. We command everything that's not of God to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. We command a whole body and nothing less in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that Pavel is healed. Now, Pavel, arise out of that bed of affliction in the name of Jesus. Arise in the name of Jesus. You will not die. You will live in Jesus' name. I don't care what they said. I know what the word says. The word says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes you were healed. And if you were healed, you are healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. She is completely healed, delivered, and set free in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that everybody here agrees. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And we won't accept anything else, devil. Go. In Jesus' name. All right. Who's up? Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you. My grandson Jonah had a therapy appointment today, and we prayed for it last night. I wasn't sure when it was this morning or tomorrow, but it was this morning. And he's had strokes. He's who is hydrocephalus, and he's got a shunt. Anyway, he's had strokes, and now he's been not using his arm. He's curled up like this, and she can't even use it. But she said they've had the hardest time getting him any therapy for his age. It's just crazy. So they finally found some in Chicago. And he went today, and he was really good. Remember, we prayed that he would be good and have no meltdowns, and the way he can be. It's just, it went really well. He cooperated. Awesome. He walked off with her without crying and screaming for victory. And he's 8, but still, he's screams for victory. It's not his mom. Amen. And it went real well. Then the therapist said that he cooperated with her. And so I really praise the Lord for that. I thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You can strengthen his muscles and get this all right, Lord, that you are going to do the most of the work, not just this therapy, but it's going to be you, God, in Jesus' name. You get all the glory. And Lord, I pray that you be with him tomorrow. Now he's got to go for another appointment in Chicago for his a neurologist, for his head, his brain, the shunt, and all that. So thank you, Lord, that that's going to go well, Lord. In fact, it's going to go very well. They're not going to believe the things they see, Lord, and the improvements, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that you're healing Jonah, that you healed him already, Lord. And that I praise you for that manifestation, Lord, that we're going to be receiving in him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the victory.
Yes, amen.
For victory. In Jesus' name.
For victory in Jonah. And also good behavior for him tomorrow, too, Lord, to cooperate with the doctor. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you all.
All right. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, after my dad had his last surgery, it seemed to help really well with this surgery. And he's just been up and around a lot now. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Using through them doctors in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for guiding their hands just right in his back. And we praise you, Father. He's going to be up and about in no time at 100%. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Y'all, agree with me. Well, I've already prayed for my granddaughter's husband, Ryan. We've been praying for that they diagnosed him with cancer in the liver and other places. And they got a bad report today, but we don't accept bad reports. We don't even accept what the doctors say. We only accept what the Word of God says. And the Word of God has already said, Lord, that he's healed. Ryan is healed. And I accept nothing less than that. And I praise you, Father, that Ryan is healed. And I thank you, Lord, for placing bold faith in Tiffany and Ryan both to believe your Word, Lord, and not pharmakia. Lord, they said that the only thing that they can do now is, I forget what they call it. But it doesn't make any difference. I ask you to open up their eyes to see, Lord, the truth of the gospel. And that way, you'll be the one that gets all the glory. And I know it, Lord. Said Ryan's liver and nodes are still growing. His current form of treatment is not working. His GEJ tumor did stay stable. He said, what this means, she said, we have one standard line of treatment left and chemical trials. How many of you know that's a lie from the pharmakia? They've got one big one left. That's all they've got, and that's the Lord God Almighty. But she's still having she was really devastated today by the report, but we don't let the natural get in the way of what God said, and I don't, and I don't accept it. Y'all don't accept it either, do you? In Jesus' name, y'all believe with me that Ryan and Tiffany will start believing the Word of God over and above what the doctors have said, and we thank you for it, Father, because we know you're going to get the glory for this one. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. For Ryan and Tiffany and Hayes. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. It's done. A little history about them. I told you this afternoon we prayed for Ryan and Tiffany dated in high school. Tiffany never did date anyone else. That's all she ever dated. That was the love of her life. And Ryan did the same up until he got in college, and he decided he'd go out on another date just to see. Well, he came running back to Tiffany, so. And they got married, and they have been so good together. I'm telling you, it's a testimony of love for each other. They really love each other, and it's you know, when you got somebody that the doctor says these things to about, it does, it breaks your heart, you know, to see your granddaughter grieving the way she does, but she's a trooper. She is. She's a real trooper. She's believing God through the doctors, but we're trying to patiently and one step at a time to allow God to work in her life to see that the doctors can't help him, but it's going to have to be God. And we're going to see a mighty miracle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, anyone else got a prayer request? Everybody get the message I sent out? Okay. Did anybody got any questions about it? Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Hey, Garrett.
Hello.
All right. You didn't get it, Sunil?
No, actually. It looks like I'm not on the list.
Okay. I think I got your email. Let me check it. Go ahead, Geneva.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Garrett. I just wanted to share my awesome testimony. Praise the Lord. Once again, he heard our prayers, and me and Morgan and my mom were able to make it all the way to Florida, 16 hours, and those beaters that were touched by the Lord. So we definitely took a lot of breaks, but I was praying in the spirit the whole time. I was just like, Lord, please get us there. Because going up all those hills and stuff, and or mountains, I should say, in Tennessee, the car could only go like 50 miles an hour, the van. So it was real slow, but I was just like, Lord, I know you're going to, I was using my imagination through faith, and just, I kept picturing the Lord just pushing us forward with his hand all the way down here. So anyways, it was a long trip, but we finally got here, thank God. And it's all just by his grace and mercy. You know, it's something me and Morgan both noticed. Morgan was driving my mom's like 1999 Toyota, and I was driving the van. And I noticed the whole way down here, there was cars, like even newer cars all along the side of the road that were like broken down. And we saw people like, you know, I guess having to get tow trucks and stuff like that. Like I saw that like two or three times. And just a bunch of broken down cars. And I just kept thinking like, man, praise you, Father. Like, thank you, Lord, for getting us here. So anyways, I just want to thank the Lord for that. Cause it was, me and Morgan were definitely a little stressed out because we had a lot happen the day that we were going to leave. And so we were just believing by faith and trusting the Lord. So it's a huge testament to me and Morgan's faith. So the Lord is good and he can do all things. Oh, also I want to say I had a dream that Morgan's two back teeth that I had talked about the last time were completely white, and the Lord was healing them. So I am believing and thanking the Lord for that. So God is great.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. My, my, my. All right, anyone else? How about testimony? Praise report. Go ahead, Barbara. Barb, there you go.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just have a wee little small thing. I just think it's really cool what the Lord gave me a dream just about my teeth, that I have all new white teeth, all of them, just before one fell out the other day, and also another one's loose. And I'm holding on to that dream because I think he was trying to encourage me, because I've had these two teeth in the front bottom for a long time, so loose. And I kept praying that the Lord would just keep them. And, you know, well, since the one fell out and everything, you know, I just thought it was cool that he gave me a dream that I had a mouthful of white teeth. So I'm just going to hold on to that, that I guess I'm getting some new teeth here in the future.
Amen. Amen. We all are.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Ain't no pain involved when God done it. Go ahead, Mariana.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to ask if everybody could pray in agreement with us tomorrow. We are taking the drive to Florida to sign for that house for Kim, Geneva's mom, and Isaac's mom. And we're taking our kids and our cat, and we're gonna break it down into 2 days, so it won't be too bad. So hopefully it'll be just like 7 hours and 8 hours. But if y'all could pray and agree with us that everything goes smoothly and the signing goes smoothly and all that, there's no hiccups or anything extra, if y'all can agree. Oh, and since you're praying for traveling, Isaac's traveling right now as we speak, so from Detroit to here. So if y'all could agree with us on that. Thank you.
Where is here?
To where we live now, here in Bethel, Ohio.
Oh, okay. All right, Lord, we thank you for protection with Mariana. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are around about her. She's not going to get a dent on the car. She's going to get good gas mileage, and everybody's going to be protected all the way home. In Jesus' name, she's going to have a smooth drive and not going to be a whole lot of traffic, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Mariana, to get her home before dark, in Jesus' name. Or is it already dark? It's 7:30 there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dark here, but we're doing our travels tomorrow. So Wednesday and Thursday, we're driving.
Okay, Lord, protect them there and back, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Greg says, and all the other people get out of her way when they see her coming. Amen. Part the Red Sea for him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for protecting all of them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Julie.
I just wanted to add to that prayer. We just also want to cover the request, Father, that the paperwork that they're going to be signing for the trailer that they're getting for their mom, Lord, that everything goes smoothly, there's no issues, and that it's even going to be better than what they thought, because you are able to do more than we can ask or think, and that you'll just bless them with things, even the tiniest details that they have about the apartment or the trailer, and everything's going to be smooth. Everything's going to go well, and bless their time together as they come together as family. Lord, I just pray your blessing on that time as they meet, and that the time's going to be sweet together in fellowship, and just pray just absolute blessings on their road trip, the family, that they're not going to have any issues, the pets, the kids, everybody in the car, and just going to be a joyous time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yeah, I just wanted to tack on too. Julie covered some of it. And Father, I just wanted to thank you for providing this place for Geneva and Isaac's mom. And Father, I just pray spiritual blessings on that place, and that she's going to be very pleased with it, that she's just going to, it's just going to immediately seem like home. And she's going to just be so happy that you worked this out for her. She's going to know that you did this for her. And she's going to be blessed, and she's going to have good neighbors. And Father, I'm just even bold to ask that there are people there in that little place where she's going to be living that that love the Lord and that want to fellowship with her, and that can even disciple her. So Father, I just thank you for what you're doing here, and I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Amen. Be a wonderful time for her. Okay. So Neil, if you'll send me your email address, I'll put you on the email list. I'm sorry. I thought you'd done that once, but I guess I misplaced it. I have the mind of Christ, glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Missy?
I was off for the beginning part there because my son Matt called me to update me what's going on with Megan and the baby. And the scheduled cesarean, which I'm believing isn't going to happen because the Lord's going to turn that baby and she's going to go into labor without them messing with her. But anyway, it got changed from Saturday because they don't do surgeries unless it's emergency stuff on Saturday. So they had a choice of Friday or Monday, and they chose Monday. So, so I thank you, Father, for everything just running smoothly. And thank you for answering my prayers and our agreement in prayer for Matt and Megan and the baby. And I just can't wait to see how you work it all out for your glory and your honor and your praise. And I thank you for putting peace in their hearts, Lord. And working all things.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I have another thing. we had a guy in here the other day looking at our electrical outlets down in the basement because they weren't working and we couldn't figure out what was going on. And so he thought he figured out what was going on, and I was praying about it the other day. And he professes to be a Christian, but his mouth doesn't show it, if you get my drift. And so I was like, I just had a funny feeling about because things didn't things didn't seem right as far as electricity, what was going on with it. And so I was just praying about that and asked the Lord that I was just covering all bases, and I was asking the Lord that that he be honest with us and do us right and everything. Well, here he ran a line, a new line to our electrical outlets. And before he did that, he started replacing these ones that these outlets that weren't right. And the one that he had tested the other day didn't have any electricity going to it. But when he tested it today before he connected this new line that he ran, it is had juice and it shocked him. So then he's like, what the world? You know, because he did, you know, none of the breakers were you know, everything, he tested everything and we saw what he did. And so here he didn't need the line that he ran because when he fixed all the outlets and checked them, they all were working and he didn't need that new line. And we're like, and I told him, I said, well, I was praying about that. And he said, and I said that, you know, that was the Lord. And he said, yeah, it had to have been. So he didn't charge us for that line that he ran. He says, consider that a freebie, but I'll leave it there in case for some reason you want to do another, have another line or whatever. But anyway, and so he got to talking and everything. And he's going through a divorce. His name is Dave. And he really has a lot of unforgiveness. And he just really chewed on our ears and unloaded, you know. And I mentioned to him about forgiveness, and he had, you know, he kind of agreed to a degree, but I don't think he completely understands. But anyway, so he, we kind of briefly got on the subject of some stuff, and I brought up, I said, I have a great book for you. I have a book for you, Sovereign God for Us and Through Us. And he says, well, I don't read the Bible anymore. I listen to it, you know? And so, but, and it was after that, he was really talking about everything he's been going through. And he had his son back in 2014, him and his friends were together, and long story short, one of them, a gun went off and it killed his son. And the guy that shot him by accident, apparently he was on trial, you know, and the judge ruled that it was an accident. But so anyway, he's been through a lot and everything, and he has a lot of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And he said, I'll return the book to you when I'm done. He says, I will read it. He says, I promise. And I said, you don't need to return it. And, but he said that he would read it. So Father, I just ask you, it is anointed, but I just ask you to put a special anointing on it that you just speak to him loud and clear. And that he knows that what he's reading is the truth, and that Lord, you use it to bring him to true repentance and salvation and belief in you, Lord. That you really turn him around, and that he just grow exponentially in you. And Lord, I just ask that we hear from him again, Lord. I think a lot of people we're gonna that you've put in our path, Lord, that we haven't heard from, but that we've spoken to. A lot of people are gonna be calling us up soon, or wanting to get a hold of us in some shape or form and want to talk to us because of things that they don't understand that's going on around us, Lord. And I believe he's going to be one of them, Lord. And I just ask you to save him, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that his two twin daughters, Lord, especially them, Lord, that you would turn their hearts to talk to their dad again. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for bringing him across our path today and bringing salvation to him, Lord, and healing his heart and teaching him true forgiveness, and that he would know that if he doesn't forgive, he's not forgiven. and that leaves you in a bad place, Lord. So I just praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a hunger for your word, that he would want to start actually reading your word and not just listening to it. Because when you read it, Lord, you can just stop and really meditate on it. Thank you for giving him much revelation and just speaking to him by your spirit in all that he reads. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was, me and my mom were over at my grandpa's one day, and somehow she got a sense of poison ivy on her arm, from her arm down. So she still has the rash on her arm, and it hasn't gone away yet, so...
You want us to go ahead and pray for him? Just your grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we command that rash to leave his arm and all the symptoms to go with it. Any kind of itching or irritation, it goes right now in the name of Jesus. And we command it to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen and amen. It's done. We talk to that devil and tell him to leave his arm. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. All right. Hey, Garrett, you got time? You want to give us testimonies now?
Sure.
All right.
So I had a dream this morning, and I haven't been dreaming at all. I mean, not remembering, just being blank. And I think that's attributed to my previously confessed lukewarm state for the last couple of months, which we've already, discussed, and what God's doing down here with me. And so I had a pretty interesting dream this morning. Now, I hope this is the right word. It's pretty convoluted. There's a lot going on, and there's different characters, and I don't want to get lost in the interpretation. I'm sure, David could see so many layers of this and what each person represents. So I don't want to get, too deep into it, but I just want to just share the dream. Honestly, earlier today, I was so excited to share, but like right now I'm just, kind of blank, but maybe that's the way it should be. I can just speak and let the Lord work and not let me get involved. So I'll just share the dream. And if something comes up to mind, then, I'll interject, but let me just pray, Lord, that if I share this dream, that people can, clean whatever they need to glean from this. And, and I just pray that in Jesus' name. So I'm really not going to talk about what I talked about before, because I can get long winded. I'll just go right into the dream. So I had a dream that I was on like Facebook Messenger, and I was texting my father my sins. Like I was confessing my sins to my dad. Sins that I had been dealing with the last few months that I have dealt with while I'm down here in this pressure cooker of New Orleans. So I remember me and my dad's already talked about it. He supports me and has forgiven me. But so I remember texting my sins, my specific sins, things that I had been doing that don't please God. Like, here's with me, when I fall into sin, I may not want to tell people while I'm in it, but when I get free of it, I just want to scream it from the rooftops. I'm so happy. It's like a reverse, testimony. Like, I'm happy that I'm free from the sin. I'm not giving a testimony as like, I was in sin, now I'm not. I know it's probably kind of shocking to people, like, what? You were in, but for me, it's like, I've been set free. And so I've just been, calling people and people that look up to me, or people that may see me as a brother, or, you know, or whatever. I've just been confessing my sins to people. I even called you, Michael. We talked about it. I've called some close personal friends and told them about it. So anyway, I was texting my dad and telling him my specific sins that I've been doing, A, B, and C. And I remember, I don't remember texting my cousin, but I remember wanting him to know that I had been, you know, disobedient to the Lord. Now, my cousin's dead. My cousin was an ordained Baptist pastor that died years ago. He died from complications from obesity. So this dream just is just all over the place. We have people showing up that aren't even alive, things that's already happened. So just bear with me here. So I'm texting my dad, which I believe represents the Father, my specific sins. Like, when you go to God, you guys, listen, when you go to God, we got to get real with God. We can't beat around the bush. I know sometimes, like, if we're in sin, we want to play it safe with others. We may not want to get specific because we may cause them a stumbling block. Maybe they're not ready to hear the specifics of it. But with God, you have to be specific. Lord, I know that I'm doing X, Y, and Z, because he already knows, but he needs us to say it. He needs us to come clean. But with our brethren, sometimes, like, if they're out mature, or if we're going to put a stumbling block before them, that that's going to cause them to judge us, which, you know, we our reputation is nothing, but you really don't want to cause people to stumble. You know, sometimes you just want to be like, hey, I've been in willful sin. I've been disobedient. You know, that's enough, as long as you know. So I didn't want my cousin, who was very religious, very Baptist, you know, never drank, never smoked, you know, none of the things that I had fallen into over the course of my life, the complete opposite. So I remember I went to his house in the dream. And when I get in there, he was on his phone and he was looking on his phone, and somehow, I don't know if he had intercepted the message that I sent my father about my specific sins, but he knew, like, he had found out. And I had told him, you know, that I had been in sin and things. I wanted to be honest with him, like, hey, I'm getting better. And, you know, he knew the specifics, and he was just shocked, like, oh my gosh, Gary, you know. And he went into ministry mode. So, like, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, when somebody is, you know, coming to me, or, you know, trying to get help or recovery, we go into ministry mode. We have the answers. We give what we believe is the gospel. And I've been so guilty of this too, man, just so full of knowledge and wisdom, you think, and, you know, you're just like, you know, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, you know, repent, do good, you know, do good works. And so he was just going on and on. There was no malice in him, but I think his self-righteous spirit was trying to minister to me a false gospel. You know, and I was listening to all of this about, man, you got to be a good person, you got to do good things, you got to repent, which are all good. But please believe me, that's not the gospel. And I'm now, and this is crazy to say, I've been in UBM since 2006, and I've been saved since 2006. Folks, I'm just now understanding the gospel. Because in the dream, as he was telling me all these things that I've been guilty of telling people, man, you got to quit this, you got to quit that, you got to do this, that's not the gospel. And so when he dumped all these things on me, I said, listen, Bradley, I said, that's all good. But I said, I'm so desperate, I can't do those things. I said, the only thing that I can put trust in to save me is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed on that cross for me. And I think, like, when I was speaking that, it was coming from such a place of desperation of a sinner with no righteous works. You know, in years past, I mean, I can look back when I you know, when I got saved, I got saved 2006. I found David in a ministry about a year later. I had the ground running, man. And it was a 5-year winning streak, you know? And I crashed and burned and didn't have a lot of failures, but then over the course of years, some failures and picking myself back up. But in this dream, you know, I was just at the point where there was no righteousness left in me. My righteous works were filthy rags. Like, I really think that God has brought me to a place where he's brought me to the cross. You know, that I can never be good enough. And it's just about the shed blood on the cross. And I really want to get deeper into that. You know, we all know about Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but I think before it's like, you know, Jesus died, believe it, now just be a good person. And no matter how righteous we feel, no matter how obedient we're doing, no matter how obedient we are, it's all about the blood and what Jesus did on the cross. Because I'm telling you guys what, there's going to come a day you may not be walking as obedient, but you can still go back to the blood. And it's not, and your works will fail you, but the blood will not. Now, I am not justifying or giving anybody permission, myself included, to willfully sin. Absolutely not. We have to walk that narrow path, but the blood comes first. You know, knowing what Jesus did on the cross comes first. Everything else is obsolete. It's, and so I think, like, my cousin, you know, who died years ago, Baptist preacher, he was just hitting me with this worldly gospel. And I just said, Bradley, I can't put my faith in that. I'm such a failure. I can only put my faith in the blood. That to me is the gospel. And I've never really heard myself say that before, honestly. I've always felt, you know, I don't know. You know, God has made me fail so much that he's brought me to that point. So I remember when I said that, when I started talking about how in the dream that my only hope is the blood of Christ. And I think we were talking a little bit longer, and then he was like really getting like hard on me. He was like, Garrett, you know, this is going to kill you. You know, your sin's going to kill you. And I wasn't angry or anything. You know, I was very humble. I was very, you know, there was no fight in me, you know, because I was humble before the Lord. And I'm not trying to bash my cousin. I love him. And I just think God's using him as a symbol. But he died from complications of obesity years ago. He died 6 foot, 620 pounds. You know, and I think I have struggled with addiction type of things, with, you know, medications or different things, but, you know, his was food. And when he was telling me that I was going to die from my addiction, I just whispered back to him. I said, Bradley, I said, you know, your eating will kill you, or your eating or something. It must have been the Lord that said it. Like, he was so unaware. He was so unaware of his own, you know, he was so full of self-righteousness, which we've all been that way. And we all want to teach everybody else, but something that is so clear to everybody else, we can't see it, you know? And so when I was like, Bradley, you know, you're going to die from overeating, he got so angry with me and became wroth. And I remember, like, you know, and I didn't even say it in a matter of like defense. It was just the Lord speaking through me, even in a humble state. And he got very angry. And at that point, it no longer was in the happy, jolly ministry mood. You know, now he was angry and wroth. And I remember that, you know, my time was done there. I was no longer welcomed. And I remember walking out, and I was leaving the house, and his father, my uncle, who is another very, very religious Baptist, you know, has probably never missed church in 45 years, very judgmental of me because of my failures. You know, I have had substance abuse issues in my past, you know, and then he always remembers that. So whenever, you know, I'm never good enough for him. So I remember when I was leaving, and God just uses these people as symbols, and, you know, there's no hard feelings towards anybody. I remember as I was leaving, I got into a white truck and I was driving off, and he came bolting out of the house, and he's a large man. I mean, my uncle's a big Air Force veteran, played football. He's a, you know, he's older now, but he was, you know, this huge bear of a man. And he came running out of the house in righteous anger with a hunting dog, with like a hound dog on a leash. And he was coming after me. Like, he was coming out because I had offended his son about the overeating. But that family all kind of struggles with obesity, whereas our side of the family, you know, maybe we struggle with different substance abuse issues at times. You know, my dad has went through his stuff. I have, my sister has, that's his brother. So, but, you know, they've never drank, they've never smoked, they've never, but, you know, their addiction is the eating. But, you know, but that's overlooked, I think, in a lot of churches. It's just, so anyway, not that I'm even judging anybody on that, but so he come bolting out of the house and looking for me to hunt me down. And I was afraid, because I'm afraid of my uncle sometimes. Like, there's been encounters he would scream at me. I mean, if I would even bring up that the there's not a pre-tribulation rapture, he would get almost violent with me. And so I've learned just to kind of stay away from him. So when I was driving away, you know, here I am safe in this white truck, and I was driving off, and I seen him coming out after me with a hunting dog to get me, to capture me, to, you know, and I was driving off, and I seen him in the rearview mirror, and I was kind of afraid. But then the Spirit of God calmed me and said, "Don't be afraid. Don't run." And I stopped the truck in the middle of the road, and it was like an act of boldness and courage, and not of confrontation, that if he really had something, some ought with me, that I was going to get out of this truck. You know, I was leaving, but I was going to get out of my truck, and I was going to speak with him about it. You know, what is your issue with me? And so I made that decision not to run in fear, you know, not to run from Pharaoh. But I got out, and I remember whatever was going to come, you know, I was going to, but then I woke up. And I know that may be like, well, that dream's kind of weird here. It doesn't make much sense, but it makes a lot of sense to me. And the main thing is this: it's all about the blood of Christ. And maybe that's not news to anybody else, but it's all that I have right now. Like, as of right now, I don't believe I'm in any willful sin, but all of my righteous works, all of my good deeds that I've ever done, although they've helped people, they've not got me one step closer to heaven. They've not got me one step closer to God. I may have deceived myself all of these years. It's only through the blood of Christ. And, you know, and that's all I wanted to share. Just, you know, like, the blood, we are covered in the blood. We can always turn back to God because of the blood. And, you know, do I want to start, you know, being bold and righteous and being mighty in word and deed? Of course. But hopefully going forward, it's always the blood first. It's never what I'm doing or what I'm accomplishing, or even what God's doing through me. It's always the blood. So, you know, some people that are in sin, like I had been, you can put your faith in that. That blood covers you. You're righteous in God's sight if you repent and you call out to him. But even maybe some people that are just doing so well, that's not something that's appealing to them because their works are so great. They don't want, you know, that interferes with their glory. But as of right now, I'm a man without glory. I'm a man without anything, but just a, you know, like a poor beggar. You know, the other day, I mean, the Lord spoke to me, the 10 lepers, you know, that just cried out to Jesus, you know, those, and you got to think those 10 lepers that cried out to Jesus to be healed. We don't know their story. Those could have been rich men at one time. Those could have been wealthy. When you became a leper, you lost everything. You were ostracized. We all equally are in desperate need of Jesus. Those, we don't know the backgrounds of those 10 lepers. You know, you go on the streets of Los Angeles and you talk to people, you'll find bankers, you'll find lawyers, you'll find people that had it all, but they're all equally desperate. And I just, as of right now, I just feel like one of the 10 lepers that just desperately needs Jesus, calling out to Jesus. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, that I did, you know, somehow, some way I could be the one that returned, you know, but I don't know, you know, I don't want to get too long winded here. I just want to magnify Christ. I want to magnify the blood that was shed for us. And it's only through the blood that we can enter into the holiest of holies.
Amen. That was a timely testimony. Thank you, Garrett, for that. It was a timely. Okay, Will, what you got, brother?
I just wanted to add to that, to God all glory. It's just the whole testimony just screamed that.
Yes, it was good and timely after I sent all of that, that email today. Praise God. Sunil, I sent you that email I sent just a minute ago. Check to make sure you get it. And I also sent it to Garrett. All right. Anyone else got anything they'd like to add to what Garrett was talking about there? Yeah. Thanks a lot, Garrett. That was awesome. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what came to me when he was saying about the blood, it made me think of this song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But I always feel like they have the wrong word in there. What has washed away my sin and what has made me whole again? You know, it's believing you have received. And that is what is so important. We have that covering until it's manifested and we believe that our sins are washed away, but we do have that blood covering, you know, until then. But yeah, because without the blood of Jesus, we have no hope. Without, you know, knowing that he's washed away our sin and taken away our sin, and so that we can be just like him, that he can make us into his image. So amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Sing it, girl.
What has washed away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Come on, Debbie, get in there with her.
Oh, precious is the flow that made me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all I remember. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood.
Hallelujah. Amen. Sorry, what song is that? What song is that? Oh, the blood. Amen. Go ahead, Angelica. You want to sing too, girl?
No. No, that's only reserved for our logo fellowship here. No, I just wanted to pray. I can totally relate to what Brother Garrett is saying. I think I've had my own female version of that over here in my own life. And so I just want to pray, because that's really just been my prayer too. You know, just kind of being in the ministry that the Lord has called us to, there's so much learning and wisdom and knowledge involved, and we understand things, you know, with our minds, but some things you can only learn experientially, you know, and through failure, and the Lord uses these things to humble us and strip away those things that are not the true foundation of Christ, as a lot of religious works are, and, you know, just works, how it's so ingrained in your blood, in your nature, and you there's just really no other way to escape it except through failure, like Peter, you know, but when God strips away all these things, and he gets us to that place where we realize that it's nothing but grace, there's nothing we can do to help ourselves, then that's when he can begin that good work in us and rebuild that house with the hands, you know, with the house it's not made with hands, you know, it's his work. It always was his work. And although that's easily understood with the mind, it's not necessarily easily understood with some of our character and nature that we've inherited. So I just wanted to pray, because this is my prayer as well. So Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for who you are, what you've done, Lord. I thank you for the grace, Father God, for that you've given us, that you've called us, Father God, into your kingdom of light. And that you translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, Lord. And I just bless and praise your name, Lord God, for the mighty works that you've done, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for myself and everyone here that you just continue to do your work. Well, Lord God, you're righteous in all that you do. And that you continue to work the work of stripping away, Father God, the religiosity, Lord God, the works-based mindset, Lord God, the things that we do to save ourselves, Father God, the self-righteousness, Father God, the pride and all these things, Father God, that beset us, Father God, and that when your work is done, Father God, that you would build us up, Father God, that you would give us a true understanding of what was done at the cross, Lord, something that is deep, that will touch us in a deep way. It's more than words, Lord, but just the true understanding of the depth of what Jesus Christ paid for, what he went through, what it gave to us, and that we would be able to stand, Father God, and not be moved, not be shaken, Father God, in our faith, and that you would give us that pure faith in you, Lord God, in your goodness and your righteousness, Lord God, because that's really all it is, Lord, is just unmerited favor. And help us to be able to receive that, Lord. I pray for Brother Garrett that you give him new revelations, Father God, of what was paid for at that cross, what was done there, Lord God. And I just ask that you bless him and that you strengthen in him spiritually, Father God. You build him up, Lord God, in his most holy faith through your spirit, and that you encourage him, Father God, and strengthen him and his family, Father God. And we just, you know, come against any condemnation, any hopelessness, despair, Father God, oppression, depression, Lord, any of that stuff. We just don't receive it for his life, Lord. And I just thank you, Father God, that he can look to you in great hope and expectation, Father God, that he's still the clay in your hands, and you're not done with him, that you're going to finish the good work that you started in him. And he's been perfected, Lord God, forever by the sacrifice of Jesus. I just thank you, Father God, that you're giving him eyes to see and ears to hear, Father God, Christ in him, Father God, and that the veil of the flesh, Father God, will be torn away and in the coming days, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I receive that too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, if that was a good prayer. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Ice, I ask you a question in the chat there. I need your email if you want me to put you on the list to get these updates from me. So just put it in the chat there if you would, if you can. I don't know if you're on the phone or not. But anyway, I need your email. All right. Anyone else?
I just wanted to give a quick testimony about something completely different, maybe more encouraging about the rest that we know David constantly hits us over the head with. So if nobody else, but maybe I'll add that later, but
go ahead.
So, you know, guys, I you know, if anybody wants to call me personally, I'll talk about what was going on personally, but even in the dream, I was kind of like, you know, kind of shown, be careful. Some people can't know specifically what you've done. It's not, you know, it's not maybe always the best. You need to like let people know you've definitely sinned, but you don't need to always go into specifics. Now, I will say I haven't, you know, cheated on my wife or killed anybody or stole anything, but there's just things that I have dealt with for years that I fall into. So anyway, I had came down here, you know, with a willful sin, moral failure. And within a week, boom, it was exposed. Repentance came. I came out of the fog. And the same things that I was dealing with, now I have a whole crew of men that are dealing with the same things, which, you know, substance abuse issues. So, and, you know, it starts with me. I have an old injury that if I fall into, you know, taking medication, and it goes from there. So here I was down here, God woke me up, and I was, you know, completely, you know, God had sobered me up. And the very thing that I was dealing with my own flesh and getting under control and bringing to the Lord and repenting, I'm now managing a crew of men down here that are now, we're in New Orleans, and a lot of them could not resist the temptation of being in New Orleans, if you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I couldn't keep them out of the bars. They're coming home. They're wanting to bring girls in the house. I rented us an Airbnb. I mean, you understand, I wasn't this righteous warrior general. I was a broken, humble man that had just come out of sin. I was the last person to be governing or watching over anybody, but it was just the way it is. I have a company and a business, and now I have men down here, and we're all staying in the same house. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm trying to keep this together. Like, you know, anybody that's been in the military, which I have not, there's something called unit cohesion. In order to stay alive, you guys have to be on the same page, because like down here, COVID's real. COVID's down here really bad. You know, there's crime, drugs. There is just so much wickedness down here. And so I'm waking up from this spiritual stupor, and I just couldn't keep my guys, you know, like listening to me, obeying me at work. They wanted to run the bars. They were trying to bring girls into the house. It was just crazy. Then I brought what I thought would be a very helpful person down here with me, a boy that I'd known for years. He's not a boy, but he's a grown man, but he had just got out of rehab. He said he'd been staying with his pastor and his pastor's wife. He was ready for Jesus. You know, I'm ready for Jesus. I'm like, bro, come on down here, man. I need you. You know, let's do this. So I brought this guy down here thinking he was going to, you know, we could iron can sharpen iron. So, you know, the moment that I picked him up at the airport, the first thing, because I had ran into him a month ago or a month and a half. I was on fire for the Lord, preaching the gospel, full of self-righteousness, not walking in any willful sin, just, the, you know, but then I picked him up at the airport, and wow, how things could change. And the first thing I did when I told him, and I'll just be honest with you guys, you know, I had been drinking a little bit the last month and doing things I shouldn't have been doing, started with, you know, falling into medication from an old injury, but I'm not making any excuses. And I will say this, I know I'm healed by faith, but I will say this though, whether or not the healing is manifested or not. We have no permission to give into sin. So if we're suffering, we don't have the escape route. We can only go to Jesus. It's only through faith that we are going to overcome. We can't cheat, you know? So, you know, I call myself out just because I've been in pain and self-medicating. I give myself no excuse. Okay. Healing manifested or not, you suffer as a soldier of Christ. So, the first thing I did when I got him when I picked him up at the airport, I looked him right in the eye and I said, John Michael, I've relapsed. I said, I've relapsed. I said, I'm sober now, but I said, I just want to make sure you know that I have failed the Lord and I've relapsed and a lot of my sins have been exposed down here. And I'm sorry if I've let you down. Well, come to find out, you know, I thought he would be like, oh my, but come to find out his whole intention coming down here he wanted to relapse. Like it was New Orleans. His pastor, you know, I have a good reputation back at home by the grace of God. You know, maybe I shouldn't, I don't know, but the pastor knew of me. And the only reason the pastor let John Michael leave to come down here was that he was going to be with me. And so when he came down here, it was pretty evident pretty quickly. This guy had no intentions of seeking Jesus or anything other than just going wild. And it was known pretty quickly. And even though other guys here on my crew drank, we didn't have an issue. You know, maybe they would drink on the back porch privately. You know, I'm not going to force something on somebody. You know, if they're doing it and it's none of my business and, you know, yes, I can talk to them about it, but I'm not going to force it on anybody, but we were okay. Everybody was fine. I mean, this is construction. You know, you got to give grace to some people that's had a hard life in construction. But when this other guy got here, this Christian, so supposed, everything changed. And the house was in pure chaos. The work site was, I just left. I mean, I gave you guys a testimony of the other house we were staying in with the other company. We had to leave. We thought we had made it into the promised land. We got our own house, our own jobs, everything was fine. And I thought I was bringing this, helper in. And I'm not trying to be too harsh, but really it was more like a Judas. And it was so crazy. So, you know, I'm sitting here trying to stay sober, and I have my mind made up. Like there was nothing in me that was even tempted. Like I was done. You know, God had woken me up because God is chastening me with this other person down here, this other owner, which the Bible says, you know, if my sons sin, I will chasten them with the children of men. So I'm definitely, this other guy is really, you know, on me legally now. So anyway, it was just crazy. Every night they were going to the bar, sneaking out, and I was having talks with John Michael. Like I'm like, listen, man, like you just got out of rehab and now you're living with the pastor and you come down here and you're just running amok and you're taking God. Like nobody was going to the bar before you got here. Now every night everybody's going to the bar and you're coming in late at night, you're breaking things. Like, come on, man, like what's going on? And at work, he was getting mad, and he's a very large man. He's about 6'5" and like 280. So and whenever you correct him, he gets very angry. You know, he had no father. He has a lot of rejection, and it was quite a trying time. And I was just like, Lord, I am on the cross. I thought it was like one thing after the other. So, you know, and every night I was like, just, you know, nobody's going to the bar. We're all staying in, you know, like I was just being really trying not to be, but I was being pretty domineering. You know, I'm like, we're going to be sober and safe. You're not going to go into the bar and catch COVID and bring it back here. We're here to work. You know, if you guys have to drink on the back porch, but none of that was working. I was really getting frustrated. And here I am, a man fresh from failure, trying to manage people that are dealing with the same things that I had just dealt with. I felt like so inadequate. Like I was so inadequate to do this, but there was nobody else. It's like, you know, the captain of a ship who's a very poor captain, but you know, there's nobody else. So it was a struggle, but I tell you what, I entered the rest. And one morning I woke up and I just gave it to God. And I said, God, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do anymore. I'm not going to, if they go to the bar, if they can do whatever they want. I completely surrendered it. Like I said, Lord, I'm not doing anything. And I don't know if this means, but the morning that I prayed that I completely surrendered, and that morning my wife, and it could mean nothing, but you know, I'll take it if it's an encouragement. My wife sent me a photo of a falcon that was perched on our back deck. And I've never seen a falcon in my life, in real life. They're pretty rare, I think, where we're from. And I know the falcon is mentioned a few times in the Bible. And I hope it's not a demonic thing, but I felt like it was just an encouragement of the Lord. Maybe what falcons mean, I don't know. But there was a falcon, you know, sitting on my deck. My wife took a picture of it. It was just perched there. That's pretty rare for a falcon just to be perched on somebody's deck. And it just, I don't know why, it just encouraged me. And my wife said, she just thought it was for me. It could be nothing, but it was an encouragement. But, that day at work, you know, they were, you know, there was just, you know, taking breaks, not on the phone all day, on the Facebook, not working, you know, and I didn't say nothing, you know, and I just gave it to God. And whenever they said, hey man, can I do this? I said, you do whatever you want to do. I said, I'm not telling you guys what to do anymore. I said, if we get this job done, it gets done. If not, and even at the bar, when we came home, I said, no more rules. I said, you guys do whatever you want to do. I just let go. Now somebody would say, well, that's irresponsible. But I just, when you're trying to control people and their flesh, it is exhausting. And sometimes you just have to let go. And so that day, I just completely stopped trying to control everybody. You know, I thought I was trying to keep everybody safe, and I just let go. And sure enough, without me having to do anything, the guy that came down here that I really felt like, and he was bringing demons in here. Like the guy came here and he said every night there's a demon in my room. I gave him my room and I slept in my dad's room. And so when he got here, he was telling me every morning there was a demon in the closet. Like, and I don't doubt it. He said, there's a dark figure, and we would come home and there would be like things moved around in his room. And it was pretty weird. There was some demonic stuff going on in here. And I think he brought it with him. But you know, he would talk God, he would talk Jesus. He could talk the talk, but he wasn't walking the walk. And I'm just trying to maintain my own life. You know, so I'm trying to plug the holes in my ship. You know what I'm saying? So it was a very exhausting thing. But just long story short, when I stopped trying to control, when I stopped trying to preach or I mean, even keeping people safe, I just said, I just let go. That night, without me doing anything, he booked a flight to Oregon and left. And I never had to do anything. And like me and my dad were like, kind of like, how are we going to get this guy out of here? And he just left. And there's just been peace in the house. And it's just so amazing. You know, it's like you go from one thing to the other. And I tell you what, I have so much more respect for David. Like, you know, we can be a rowdy bunch and we can get upset. And I know I've been factious towards David at times and confessed it to David with political stuff, the politics or whatever. And man, the poor guy, I felt a little version of what David goes through this week. And I am so sorry for anything that I've ever criticized David for, because I don't think we realize how hard it is to keep a group together and to keep unity and keep everybody safe. Because a lot of times all David's trying to do is just keep us safe. And I've resisted that at times. I've kind of bucked him, but honestly, whenever I've had an issue with David, I tell him immediately. I don't hide nothing. I call him. And that's maybe one of the reasons why, you know, I haven't been factious, because when I have had a disagreement, I go to David with it immediately. So, but yeah, I mean, God bless anybody that God has put in a position of authority like that, because it is not an easy job. I don't know, but just that was a little rabbit trail about respect authority. And that's one of the things too, John Michael would not respect authority down here. I said, he wouldn't listen to us. He was on his phone all day. And I was trying to be like, John Michael, listen, I know you may look at me and my dad, because we're the owners, like we're just a bunch of screw ups. Like we may be stupid. You may see all of our flaws, but I can't help that I am the authority down here. And you may think we're being so unreasonable by just asking you to stay off your phone during work. I'm sorry, but that's, you know, somebody's got to be in charge down here. And, you know, and it was, and you see, you know, it's almost like maybe like Moses, like he saw how faulty he was. He saw that he wasn't adequate, but God still chose him. And you have to respect authority. So like for any of us in our life, if we have an authority, God put that authority in our lives. And whether or not we see their weaknesses or anything, that doesn't matter. You know, we got to obey authority, but that's a side topic. But yeah, the morning that I rested and I let go, he left. And it was, and we have been, the whole house has had a collective sigh of relief, and only God could have done that. And I didn't deserve it. You know, I deserve probably more chastening, but God once again said, Garrett, even in your fallen state, if you just rest, if you just go to the blood, if you just return to me with your whole heart, I will act immediately. And I think sometimes we're holding on to things we don't want to surrender, and it keeps God from giving us that breakthrough. And you know, it's just, you know, total surrender is just the most beautiful thing. Now, I can't say that I won't find myself in this situation next year. You know, I'm very careful. But for today, I thank God for his grace, his mercy. By the grace of God, you know, hopefully I can put all of this behind me. But, you know, if I let temptation come in again, and I'll probably find myself back in Louisiana next year going through another pressure cooker. So I guess my two cents tonight is the rest in the blood.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That was good, Garrett. Thank you. It's kind of a reality check. Well, this time is coming upon us that all of us need to check ourselves and make sure we're right, you know, in every aspect of our walk with the Lord. With that confirmation of what we already have, about what's coming. Like I told you in the deal there, it's necessary to be drawing closer to the Lord and listening to him tell you what to do. Edwin, did you get a copy of that? Okay, good. Thank you. Garrett, I just sent you a copy and also sent Ice a copy of it. All right. Well, the other week, I think it's about a week or so ago, maybe a little longer, you had emailed me about a subject that you would have wanted us to look at. Did you want to elaborate on that and say something about it? I forget what it was, but I was hoping you would remember. Will you? Yeah.
So it was David's teaching. Let me just look at the date. If I can find it, I'll post it. But it was David's teaching, and there was just so much in there. So I just sort of mentioned all the... But the one was rejection that comes up now. I think it was, is it Mrs. Finska, if I pronounce it right? There was a lot coming out during that teaching of David at the end about the spirit of rejection again and the fear of rejection. But I'll look quickly, see if I can find the other highlights of that specific teaching and the time. I think it was, sure, I'll have to look at it. But yeah, one was rejection.
Okay. You remember what the question was? He's looking for it. Okay.
It was just about pressing in deeper, I guess. She had a revelation which I didn't quite understand. I don't know if who is familiar with her specific revelation that she sent through to David, but it was just about pressing in more, you know, the spirit of rejection. It's like a room for me. I've touched on it and the Lord has revealed some rejection, but it's like going into a room. It's like so much more to it than just being rejected.
You familiar with that one, Judah? Or Angelica? Other one of you? Yeah, Andrew.
With rejection, sometimes, you know, you might come on a site like this where we're having fellowship. And something happens really, really wonderful with someone. He gives testimony. He gives what happened in his life. And then you might think that you don't measure up anymore with God. And this is just a trick from that trickster who's tempting you, putting this thought in your head that you don't measure up anymore because I don't. You might say, I don't think I have faith for that. And that right away is a spirit of rejection coming into you because you don't think you measure up to this guy over here, but you're not supposed to be measuring yourself with any other person here. We measure ourselves with Christ and what happened at that cross and resurrection is that gift that was given to you. And you have that gift. Don't let the temptation come into your head that you're rejected. The Lord said, I will not leave you orphan. He has adopted you. And that's one of the forms of rejection that sometimes could creep up on you. And that's the one I'm going to share for pressing in. When you recognize this coming upon you, you just have to press in. You need maybe a verse. You have the verse because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent and he's teaching you all things. And you know these teachings, that if you've been here for a while, you know these teachings. And this Holy Spirit that comes in his name, he's going to remind you of everything he taught you. And that's just going to pop into your head because he's going to give it to you because he does not leave you orphan. He's gonna have you battle this rejection, you know, if it comes that way. And that's one of the ways it can come. And that's the one I'm sharing. And I'll leave the rest up to you, the rest of you guys.
All right, anybody else? Going on in the chat, Dad. Amen. Hi, Carol. All right.
If you want a verse with that, I think I said it once in one of the meetings, and I find where it says. I think it's in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he, and that's the Almighty God and Father, wherefore he is able to save. Now you're already saved, but he's gonna save you. You already have faith, you already got the blood, but he's gonna give you the faith now. You've got the calling faith, you're in this new life. And now he's going to manifest with this faith because this verse will give it to you, because wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost. That's everything. Them that draw nigh unto God through him. And this him is the one you were given at the cross and the resurrection. That's Christ in you. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for you. So if you want to have a faith in a verse, that you see, no word of God shall be void of power. That's the verse I was thinking about, just for this crazy rash we prayed for, and almost all gone now. And it's the word of God, yes, but we still have to approach the Lord in this gift that he's given us, and he's not going to leave you orphan. So I don't know if that's 7:25 of Hebrews, but I'm just guessing there. But I'm not really good with the numbers. I just try to remember the verse. Anyway, praise God. God loves you, and this is a love. This is an obedient love. We love because he first loved us. And this is the love of obedience of this verse that he wants to give you. But it's for you. It was for the Hebrews a long time ago. And now it's for us. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, what is faith, and how do you get more of it? It's a question we've answered many time and time again. And to get more faith is to get next to God, is to get in the Word of God. Because hearing comes faith. Hearing the Word of God comes faith. And what that faith is trusting God to back up what his promises say, right? So that's all it is just backing up what God has already said in his word and trusting God to fulfill it. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, Abraham had a covenant with God, and God made him enter into the rest. And you're supposed to rely on God to make you come into that rest. And he walked the covenant. You're resting. So you're trusting in him. You're saying, okay, Almighty God, my Father, wants me to be in the rest. He's going to give me this rest like he made Abraham rest. And he's going to use all that he has at his disposal to make this happen. Yeah. If you even saw a baby, okay, and it was the Lord's baby, everyone would help a baby. You don't just pass it by, you know. If it fell on the ground there because mom's over there looking at something on the grocery counter, and the baby's somehow come out of the, or it's just a small child there and it fell down, you would help that baby. If the baby was on at the beach, crawling on the beach blanket, and it crawled off into the sand, you would go turn it around and put it back on the beach towel or the beach blanket, whatever. And so this is the Lord saying that you have to just trust in him and rest. And he gives you the rest so that you can enter the rest. You know, he made Abraham fall asleep. So, you know, when you listen to that Hendrick guy, he says when he was in heaven, you would say, well, I'm going to go and check out the tree that has a different fruit on it every month. Well, that thing you thought of was put in your head by the Lord, because you're in heaven now. And to go there means, if you wanted to do something before you left, a couple of seconds, that was put in your head too before you went to go leave for that tree, just to have a look at the fruit on it or even to pick it. So if you're supposed to enter into these heavenly places here on earth, then this rest is a complete trust that you know, that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So and that's who you abide in. So why? Everybody had a dad, a father, and they took care of you the best they could. So why would it not be any different? He even says that in his word. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give to you, to them that ask? And what he's going to give you there is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's going to teach you more, and he's going to remind you more of everything he taught you. And he's going to bring you into this. An almighty God controls everything an almighty controls. And that's a lot, because it's all his anyway. Because whatever you see and don't see, it came out of him. So if it came out of him and it's all there before your eyes, and so are you, and the creation continues it. Because you have to bear this fruit 30, 60, 100 fold, and you're going to get that peace, because Almighty God is going to see to it that you get this peace, but you still have to be focused on it. And that focus is a rest also. Anyway, praise God, and have confidence in an almighty God. What else would you want to have confidence in? And praise God. You know, he's there. He's there for you. He would have never called you if he wasn't there. You know, if you mess up, get back up. Get back up in this grace and faith that he's given you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the grace, the only begotten Son. And if you're going to believe in him, you're going to believe in him. That's the faith in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And if you're going to be saved, you know, you got this everlasting life. And the gift is the everlasting life. You're not going to perish. He's going to save you. Perish not is the saved part. So, you know, these are the collations of John 3:16 and Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And of course, 10 is your creation. Praise God. Anyway. I think I spoke enough. So when you sometimes, you know, you can talk about rejection and then you might get into a rejection mode. So you got to be careful when we do these talks too. So praise God.
Amen. Amen, Andrew. That's good. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Andrew kind of triggered a thought this morning. I woke up earlier, and the Lord just, I mean, woke me up, eyes wide open type of thing. And so I got up a little early and started to read. But I laid in bed for quite a while just praying, because it just seems that there is a heightened attack that I'm feeling. I'm sure everybody else is probably feeling the same thing. It's kind of I've found myself for the last few days casting things down, constantly casting thoughts down, casting doubts, it's just kind of a constant barrage. And so this morning I when I woke up, the thought had was on my mind is that you can't kill a dead man. And I know that scripture, we've been crucified in Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And so all the way through the shower this morning, I was thinking about the life, what is that? That death to self, that complete dying to self, which the Lord provided us on the cross. And but the thing that I was thinking about as pondering was that to be able to rest in that, obviously, to rest in that death is also resting in the resurrected life, because it happens simultaneously. And as I was thinking about it, is that none of us in this room, I for sure, have no awareness or no comprehension of what it is like to experience death. There's only one that is talking, that has actually experienced that and is aware of the ramifications, aware of the feelings, aware of the fears, and aware of all of those, the aspects of that. And it's Jesus. And it kind of, as I was thinking about it, is that the only way to rest in that freedom that comes through that process or that faith is to rest in Jesus' awareness. And so it was just kind of thinking through the process, and I realized that the Lord is bringing these things, these circumstances, these constant battles and these constant attacks, shall we say. It's what he is using, I know, in my life to bring me over, however that happens, into resting in his life, in his absolute protection. Because again, he is the only one that has that awareness. And of course, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit to really give us his perspective, his awareness, and just as important, the power to live in it. So when Andrew was talking about that, it was just kind of, it kind of reminded me of that. I guess I didn't really have a point. The only thing is that as I was considering it, it dawned on me that the people, let's just say the factious people that he brings into our life, are not aware of what they're doing. And it really struck me with a sense of sadness, and I ended up in prayer, specifically thanking God for these circumstances and these the factious interactions that I've had, etc., and to thank him for it, because he is the one that controls all of that, and he is bringing them into my life, has brought them into my life for a specific purpose. And this morning I ended up really in a, it just kind of brought me into a sense of worship with the Lord, and just how awesome he is that he can take the circumstances. And I look at even the letter that Michael sent out today of what God is doing in the world. He's doing the exact same thing that he's doing within us as individuals. He's bringing this pressure, it's a major correction. It's a rebuke. He's rebuking the flesh and doing so in a great way in the world. And the end result is it is going to set a multitude of people free by creating a greater fear of God than a fear of the specific fears or things that they have now. And I guess I just see the same thing happening in my own life through the circumstances and the relationships and stuff that he's brought into my life. So it's just, God is amazing the way he can take what we initially look at as, contrary situations, contrary circumstances. And when we look past those circumstances and give him thanks and acknowledge him as the one who's behind that, he sets you free. That's all I can say. And it seems to be only free in that particular aspect, and then we move on to the next one. But it is, I don't know, it's amazing. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. What is it that God's looking for in us? Maybe one thing he's looking for. Anybody know what that is? Oh, Missy.
Jesus.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Pat. Yeah, he's looking for Jesus. But he's looking for more of Jesus than a lot of times we're willing to give. And the reason is self. I've got a saying over, I keep over here where I read my word, and it says something. Hang on just a minute. Oh, yeah. Self is the root of all sin. Self is the root of all sin. And if you don't have self, you have no sin. And if you think about it, that's exactly right. Because we need to die and allow the Spirit to come alive in us. We all know this, but we know it up here a lot too much. And we need to get it in our spirit in order to allow Lord to do that. And the only way to do that is to get in the Word. Look at those scriptures that talks about that. Go ahead, Will.
No, it just made me think of a verse. He that is crucified in the flesh is done with sin. I don't know, it's in Peter somewhere.
Yeah. Another was Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Which means as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into those dying to self stuff that we've all been taught about, when we die to self, we become that son of God, don't we? Those sons of God, let me put it that way, and daughters of God, of course. Because the Spirit that's in us is that divine Spirit. He's that life power that helps us walk this walk that God wants us to walk. The more of Him that you get in you, the less of you is going to be out there walking this walk. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, so I guess the real question is, how do you get rid of the flesh?
I just said it. You get it.
Yeah, I heard you say it. You know, you got to depend upon the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we all know what Jesus said about the Spirit, that it's His word, and it's His, the words that I speak to you are Spirit and life. So what is it that we have to increase in that certain room that's in this vessel that has to that the Lord has to give to us so that this portion of flesh is no longer a problem for us? What is it that we get through this word, through this Spirit, and through this lifestyle, so that this portion that used to always really be a problem for you is now gone because something just happened inside of your and it's there now, so it's no longer a problem? So what is that? And also, if you don't, okay, I'm gonna give you the answer. It's the fruit of Christ in your soul. So, and that's in 1 John 5:3-5. It's the whatsoever is born of God. You see, you're born of God, but now you need it's not a whosoever, it's a whatsoever, what you need there. And this whatsoever actually has the same thing that just Michael just said there. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We have to be this. So, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. It's a victory that God's given you by grace, by unmerited favor. And this is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. Twice there's overcome in those verses. And this overcoming is finally the birth of that portion of fruit of Christ in your soul. And if you had 30-fold fruit, you just went to 31. And you're going to get to that 60-fold, which is going to give you moon glory because it's double 30. And then a triple 30 plus 10 is going to give the sun glory. And at the same time, you know, you operate in that fruit that you have. So I was told once by one of the teachings David Eales had that as soon as you get saved, you've got 30-fold fruit. So it should be an upward hill from here. It should be increasing more. You know, the whole idea is your soul here. You have to bear the fruit of Christ in your soul. And this fruit of Christ is also the Spirit in you, the gifts of the Spirit, the love, all the different ways you could love Him. When you love Him, you got that fruit. When you have that peace, let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts. joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Long suffering. Well, Romans, you know, what Pat was talking about is all there in Romans 5, where you get you rejoice in tribulation. Then through the tribulation, you retain patience, and then patience, approvedness, and approvedness is a hope. And that hope is that portion of fruit that you just got. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And wow, like the Lord's going to supply fruit through the Holy Ghost that's omnipresent. So, you know, I'm always the one looking for the guy to encourage me. I hope this is encouraging someone. Because I remember a long time ago remembering verses when I was still amongst the divisions. And I'll put it to you that way because it's a fruit of the flesh. That I just stopped once and I distinctly heard the Lord say, Andrew, what's wrong? And I just said a prayer and I said, Lord, remembering these verses is really nice. You know, I didn't like verbatim remember everything, but I just want these verses to be alive to me. And I don't know if the Lord just went, hey man, look what this guy just said to whoever, but this alive in us is that fruit in us. So it kind of goes in a collation back and forth, you know, like you can collate all the things to give you this life. You need the fruit because the fruit is what gives you the life. But with this fruit, you need the Spirit and then you need the Word. So either way you look at it, you always end up with God when you have all these variables, because that's what he's doing for us. So praise God, you know, this life-giving Spirit that he gave us in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, Adam was a living soul. The last Adam is the life-giving Spirit. Come on now. You know, this is what he gave you. This is what you had. And it's been done for 2,000 years now. So, and he doesn't leave you orphan. And so, and he promises you these things. Now, we're not one talented, and we don't put our talent in a napkin. We increase by faith. And that faith is given to us as unmerited faith. So even if you only have two talents and you reproduce 100%, and you know talent is not a peak playing a piano, okay, or something like that. So you're waiting on the Lord to make you this overcomer because you're in rest. So even though you can have all this go through your mind, this heart of yours is the Lord's responsibility to circumcise it so that you can love him now, so that you can have the fruit of Christ in your soul. I mean, that first commandment that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, which is obedience. If it's in your mind and you want to do it, there's your discipleship. It goes from, but here he mentions heart first. So why aren't we getting this in our heart first? Heart, soul, strength, and mind. You know, it's a corridor and all of the doorways are open. You're getting it in all four places. Or, you know, if a person fails, you still obey God with 1 John 1:9. And you just have to be sanctified or cleansed by the faith You just ask for it. You know, you can read 1 John 2:1. You know, we have this advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our exchange for our sin, our covering for our sin, even our faith in the sanctification through Christ Jesus, our cleansing of the blood. So these are the words of God. These words of God, the devil hates to hear. We speak them in faith. We speak them because it's, for no word of God shall be void of power. You have this by the cross and resurrection that was given to you. And you know, the devil can even sometimes attack you as to whether you actually received this salvation on that day. That's why the pastors want to take you out and drown you after you get it. The salvation comes, the baptism, the circumcision of the heart, the reconciliation, the communion, the cross, they all collate. There's 5 of them. That should give you grace. You can see how they collate when you just think on these things. Praise God. Glory to God. This is why he gave you this word, and this is why he ordained these things, this baptism. And you know he's comparing baptism to the circumcision. You know that. It's written right in there. Wherever it's written, it's in the New Testament. I can't remember the verse or the book, so you're going to have to read it all again. Praise God.
Amen. I guess we're out of time. Pat, would you explain to us what you wanted to talk about? Maybe Thursday night we can go over some of this. We got some scriptures handy. Pat, but not.
I'm here. What is it?
You remember
you want me to?
Yeah, just briefly give us a synopsis
in the
of
email
what you'd like
I sent
to talk
you?
Yeah. Yes.
I should you remember? I probably should. No, I don't.
Okay.
I'd have to look at it. I'm sorry, I forgot to.
That's okay.
I didn't even you caught me. Caught me off guard here.
Well, I'm sorry. I should have given you a heads up, but I didn't even get to it yet.
Yeah, I have to go back and read it, and it was kind of just one of those things that the Lord just hit me with, and it was based upon what I had heard a couple people say in the previous,
I got it.
I think it was Saturday nights or something like that. Yeah, the email I sent you.
Yeah, I did. You said I'm starting to see the connection of the two phase effects in our lives of sanctification to perfection with the former and latter rain type in scripture. Today, I was looking into the second aspect of Jesus' return in the body of the man-child believers in role and responsibility. As a result of some thoughts I had in the Zoom meeting last night, I thought I would share it with you, Casey, man. And then he went to Hosea chapter 6, 1, 2, and 3. Then Luke 4, 18. and 19. And then down at Daniel. And I'm trying to find a question. Okay. Well, I'll have to go over and look it up, see what.
Yeah, I'll pull it up and read it again, and maybe I slept since then. I'm sorry, yeah. Michael.
Okay. All right, well, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome night tonight. We praise you, Father, that you are getting us ready by the Spirit of the Lord and by our spirit, because you're in our spirit right now. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you teach us how to be led by your spirit by getting in the word. And Lord, place it in each of our hearts to not be distracted in the days ahead, because this is the time that the bride's chosen. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that our eyes and our ears and our whole being is running out to you. We're surrendered to you, Lord. Show us anything in our hearts, Lord, that may be hindering our walk, so that we can repent of it and get away from it, and to lock our eyes on you, our spiritual eyes. And we thank you, Lord, for opening up the Word of God to us, to show us what you want us to look like. And Lord, I just thank you so much. You know, Lord, give us the faith that Abraham had. And he was just fully persuaded of what you had told him. He was fully persuaded, you said. And that's the way we want to be, is fully persuaded that we can look like Jesus and that we are like Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for placing it in all our hearts. To watch your mouth, to speak only as an oracle of God, to be humble, and to walk like Jesus did. He was a humble man. And to be powerful when we need to against the enemy. And to not accept anything but what your word says. If the Lord says we're healed, then bless God, we're healed, and the enemy's got to go. And if we need deliverance, the enemy's got to go. And we just praise you, Father, for doing that in each and every one of us right now, in Jesus' name. Root out all of anything that's not of you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit right now, in the name of Jesus. Fill us up, Lord, so much so that there's nothing left but you. And we just keep on asking for that filling and that filling every day, Lord, so that we can be led by your spirit. Get that new manna every morning, because the manna from yesterday has already been eaten up by the worms. And Lord, we thank you for doing that in each and every one of us. Protect all your elect across the world, Lord, during these times ahead, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Get your people out from away from these apostate churches and place them into the truth of the gospel. We thank you for it, Father. Prepare our hearts to be able to help these people when that time comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Protect us tomorrow and the next day. And we thank you, Lord, that Thursday night's going to be a, what is tonight? This is Tuesday. Thursday night, Lord, we'll all come back if we've got an internet. And we thank you, Lord, that we will come together in love in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless Nick out there, Lord, in Jesus' name, with this new job, with this job he's got. We thank you for it. Amen. Bless Geneva and the baby. In Jesus' name. Bless Julie with complete healing. Bless Missy with it, what she needs, and everybody else with what they need, Lord. Bless everybody. It'll take too long to go through everybody. Lord, we just praise you for doing that. Bless George up there in Maine with some warm weather all winter long. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. All right, folks.